You remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. Comes to us once again from the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel as we visit this passage for the third week in a row. This morning we'll read the first 12 verses. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." It's the word of God for the people of God. May be seated. Those of you that have been around here hearing me preach for the last few years, I hope by now know I do try to bring a little levity and humor to the otherwise serious business of faith. But you also know I'm not a joke teller. I've never been able to remember jokes when people tell them to me, and the jokes I can remember you can't retell in a sermon. In fact, I can only remember really telling one joke in a sermon since I've been here, and it was a joke that I thought I was particularly qualified to tell in light of my own background. And afterwards, someone told me that there was really a better and a more accurate punchline to that joke, and after they told me, I was certain they were right. Some of you might remember the joke. It was, "Do you know the last words of a redneck?" Anybody remember? "Watch this." Of course, the improved, more accurate punchline, I was told, was, "Hold my beer and watch this." Now, some people in Jesus' day might have been saying about him that he was kind of a Jewish redneck. After all, he was a carpenter from the country town of Nazareth up in the Galilee. It was kind of like being from Toombs County, if any of you know where that is. That's where I'm from. It was the home of tough guys like the Zealots, who were the kind of people that didn't take anything off of anybody and had a particularly rebellious streak in them. So you could kind of say that it was country come to town when the devil took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and challenges his manhood, or really challenges his godhood. "If you are the Son of God," he says to him. Now, some historians say that the pinnacle of the temple could have been as much as 700 feet high, built along the wall of the temple that fell off then into the valley below, leading up the mountain to Jerusalem. So it's a good thing for us, I'm pretty sure, that Jesus wasn't a Jewish redneck. And he didn't turn and say to the devil that day, "Hold my wineskin and watch this." I mean, surely one of the great temptations in life is to think that I can live without limits, that I can ignore my humanity. It is, in a way, it's a way of thinking ourselves invincible, maybe even immortal. I mean, it's the temptation to think we can push the envelope on everything and get away with it because we are somehow different than everybody else. You know, it's the sort of, it won't happen to me kind of thinking. It's the rules don't apply to me like they do to everyone else kind of thinking. Hubris was the Greek name for it, one of the seven deadly sins. Foolishness was the biblical name for it. It's funny, I looked up the word foolish or foolishness, and was delighted to find even online it had a decidedly southern slant to the definition.
It said, foolishness to lack good sense. We used to say that about people all the time. You know, well, he's a good guy, but he doesn't have good sense. Or my mama would say something like, he doesn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. Well, the temptation of the pinnacle of the temple. It reminded me of a show I saw not long ago about on TV about base jumpers. You know what base jumpers are? They're people who parachute off of bridges, antennas, structures, and earth or cliffs. All I kept thinking, seeing these people parachute off of these things is, you know, remember that definition? Lacking good sense. I hope none of y'all are base jumpers out there. Give me something else to worry about and pray for. I have to wonder, however, if Satan really thought Jesus was that foolish, or if he just hoped the natural hubris of his humanity would trip him up on this particular temptation. Then again, I sometimes wonder if it wasn't Satan's own experience that was the inspiration for this last temptation. This is what happened to him after all, right? If you know his story, Lucifer, he refused to live within his limits. Luke said, in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Read the book of Revelation, it says that what he did was he challenged God's limits for him. It was the limits of his ability and the limits of his authority, and he took himself up on the pinnacle, if you would, to put God to the test, and he came crashing down. And so maybe he's thinking, I'm going to challenge Jesus to prove who he is, that somehow to prove that he's different than me. But I think in a weird way, Jesus had already jumped off, and he landed on earth with all of the limits of our humanity. And even on this day, he was awaiting a day that was coming when they would lift him up high. And when he fell off, it would appear for all the world as if God didn't catch him. And so maybe the real temptation for Jesus that day might have been to just shut him up once and for all. You know, maybe Satan was hoping he could just bait Jesus into saying something like, shut up and watch this. So what does that have to do with us? Maybe a lot, I think. Because I am pretty sure that sooner or later, we all end up on the pinnacle of the temple. And we will all be tempted to jump off when we're there. I say that because we all get tempted sooner or later to think we can live without limits. Because we all want to do what we want to do, right? And we all want to be what we want to be. We want to be the exception to the rules. Now, the Bible says that God has always given us limits. In a way, those limits are what it means to be human. From the very beginning, the story says, there was a garden with a tree that was off limits. In fact, you could say that the fruit of that tree represented the difference in a limitless God and a limited humanity. So the first temptation, the temptation of the garden, was simply, if you step across that line and eat of this fruit, you'll know everything God knows. Remember, it's the temptation to not have any limits. Or when God gave the law to Moses, the Ten Commandments, for instance, they were limits within which we were to live. They basically said, those Ten Commandments themselves, they basically said, whatever you do, don't do this. Anything but not this. Don't cross that line. And what we know, but we sometimes ignore, is that the limits of our humanity are really for our own protection. They are like the fence at the edge of the cliff with the sign on it that says, dangerous. Don't cross this fence. Footing unstable, fall will be fatal. And yet, if you ever been to places like that, there's always somebody that crawls across the fence. Because they just have to peek over the edge to just see what they might see if they're up there. One of the first times this passage really spoke to me, I realized that the devil had taken me up to the pinnacle of the temple. I was up there, and I was foolish enough to think that the limits of our humanity don't apply to me. At that point in my life, I thought, I don't need rest. I'm serving God. I don't need Sabbath. I have a successful church. God will bear me up if I jump off because I'm doing this for Him. The question was, really, looking back, whether or not I was. Burnout is a condition some of you know about. It's what happens when driven, successful people ignore our limits and think that we're somehow different than everybody else, that we're the exception to the rule. We think that we can jump off and fly somehow. Others of us have pushed the limits of our relationships. It's like we get married and it takes us to some pinnacle of love and commitment. But that relationship, while having unconditional love, unconditional commitment for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health, those things, does have relational limits. Relational limits we commit ourselves to in that covenant. Forsaking all of us, be faithful to him or her, as long as you both shall live. But sometimes we are tempted to expect other people in those relationships to accept my neglect, my anger, even my obsession with other things. And we climb up there in that relationship and we jump off. We put our marriage or our children to the test. For some people, that pinnacle is made of money. You know, we get up there and we find ourselves tempted sometimes to take a financial risk because we think we can be the exception to the rules. Why, I can make this work even though three other people have crashed trying to make the same thing work. And I don't know where that pinnacle of the temple will be for you, but I know that we all have one. And sooner or later, the devil will get us up there and he will dare us to jump. And the problem is, when you're up there, way up there, you get a little lightheaded up there. And we don't think right. We might even get foolish, lacking good sense. And suddenly we think we can defy gravity. We push our limits. And we might even think that God will bear me up because God knows my heart. God knows my intentions are good. But you know what? When we act outside the boundaries and God rescues us, you know what we call that? A miracle. You know what a miracle is, right? An exception to the rule, not the norm. It just might be the height of foolishness to expect we will be the miracle. You know, we'll be the exception to the rule when we knew what the limits were and we pushed them anyway, when we knew we couldn't fly, but we jumped anyway. Now, one last question I think is important in our understanding temptations and how to resist is the question, why? Why would we jump off a perfectly good bridge or building or structure? What makes us vulnerable besides hubris or foolishness? Remember what the temptation was for Jesus? Prove yourself. Now that's a temptation we all face. And we face it all through life. Prove yourself. As small children, remember how we would put it? I can do it myself. Or we get a little bit older, might put it this way. Oh, you don't think I can? Just watch me. Or as adolescents, I mean, think about it. Guys, at least I can say, how many times in our adolescence were we trying to prove our manhood, prove our courage, and do way too many watch this kind of things? And as adults, we catch ourselves wanting to prove our prowess in many ways. We want to prove how liberated I am, or how smart I am, how strong I am, all kind of things we want to prove about ourselves. It's this need for esteem that Maslow talked about in that hierarchy of needs. It's the desire for respect or the admiration of others that can really make us vulnerable to say, I don't need help and I don't need rules. And I don't need accountability. You know what I need? I need you to be wowed by me. I may even need you to be envious of me. But what I really need is I need to know my limits. I need to accept my humanity. Not as an excuse. We do that sometimes. You know, when we crash and fall, we use our humanity as an excuse. Oh, but I'm only human. I mean, we need to accept our humanity as a boundary. And to do that, I have to know who I am in the eyes of God. That's what protected Jesus. He knew who he was as the Son of God. But he also knew what that meant for him. He knew the boundaries that that brought to him. And he was satisfied to live a life within those boundaries that honored the Father and respected his authority, whether or not it measured up to what everybody else's expectations of him was or what they wanted him to be, or maybe even what he wanted to be in the eyes of everyone else. So the next time you find yourself on the pinnacle and you start hearing that voice say somewhere down deep, prove yourself. Beware. Don't get baited into saying, watch this. You might not comply. So don't put God to the test, is the message. Know his limits. Be content to stay on this side of the line, because I am pretty sure that is the only truly safe place in this world. Amen. Amen.